Hey everyone, this is Scott Ferrioli from dvc-rental.com and buyandselldvc.com. There's a chill in the air coming this holiday season, and if you're thinking of coming to Disney, check out the deals section on our website. There are a bunch of great last-minute deals available. Or if you're thinking of possibly surprising your family for the holiday season, check out our resales page at buyandselldvc.com, where you can have a lifetime of Disney memories for your family at a discounted price.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the WW Review. I'm Stacey Nyman, and I'm joined by my co-host, Carly, the Rookie Positano. And we're also joined by a couple of really important guests today. So why don't we introduce our guests as we go around our circle? We're going to talk about something good in our lives this week. We've been doing a lot of alpha stuff, so figure we'll switch it up a little bit, talk about what's good in our lives. And then that will kind of naturally, I think, dive into the topic of today's podcast. So why don't we go with our guests first? Let's go in alphabetical order. So we're going to go, oh no, now I have to look at the first names and last names. Let's go with John. John Kroll, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us what's good in your life and we'll move on from there.
Well, hi everybody. I'm John Kroll. It's nice to be here with you guys talking about some fun topics today. Something good in my life. We just had one of our best friends was in town visiting. She lives out in South Dakota. So her kids are our godchildren and it was nice to get to see them and hang out for a week. So a lot of playing basketball, swimming in the pool, that type of thing. So really fun, fun time to recharge and relax a little bit and just hang out with some old friends. So it was awesome.
So you're like the godfather?
Yeah. Wow. I have at one point this weekend, all six of my godchildren were at our house because my other really good friend came over to hang out as well and brought his kids, who are my other godchildren. And so, yeah, if there would have been, you know, some type of issue there, I would have inherited a lot of children.
Yeah, and but you are a very important person today with all those godchildren.
Like, you don't have enough of your own. You're like, oh, yeah, John, notice, you know, six more.
No, we probably, honestly, we wouldn't at this point. I mean, add it to the 4.5 that we already have. It's no different.
We have six kids, too, that would have come under our realm had something terrible happened to their parents. And it's the same type of thing. It's like, now the Nymans have four kids. Just give them some more. They're completely fine. So, all right. And let's move on to our second guest. How about Neil? How are you doing today, Neil?
I'm good. Hi, everyone. I'm Neil Hurd. Glad to be here on the podcast. Something good that's going on in my life. Recently traded in my vehicle and got a great deal on a new car and really enjoying my new vehicle that John tried to help.
What did you get? You need to tell us what you got.
So I had a pickup truck, which I know Carly thought was kind of weird and didn't expect me to have. But I had a pickup truck, a Dodge Ram, and I traded that in for a Cadillac.
Wow, fancy. Yep.
Nice. It's got all the bells and whistles.
It does. It's pretty cool. It is without a doubt the nicest vehicle that I will probably ever own. So I'm going to take very, very good care of this.
So you have to make it last for a really long time. So you could be the old guy in the neighborhood driving the old Cadillac day.
That's right. Good. And I already feel that way anyways. So. That helps.
All right. How about you, Carly?
Well, if you've been on Facebook, you may have seen my post today. It's been a very emotional day, and I didn't think it would be, but Riley is all set for her first day of high school tomorrow. So she's been getting her outfit ready and packing up her lunch that she could pack up and her backpack and, you know, just kind of going through her schedule and thinking about all those things. And I'm like, part of me is all excited because I don't start until next week. So I have a whole week to myself to clean the house and do all that great stuff. But then part of me is like, oh my God, my baby, she's going out to high school. And I have such a hard time because I teach freshmen a majority of my day. And they're like, you know, I talk to them like, oh my gosh, guys, you're freshmen. You're 14 years old. You know how to be responsible. Get your stuff done. Get it in. no excuses. And then now I have to look at my daughter and I'm like, oh, honey, you're just still so little.
I know. It's so funny how other people's kids always seem so much older than your own kids.
Oh,
yeah.
How about you, Miss Stacy?
Well, first of all, if you're watching the video on YouTube, my chair is very slowly starting to sink to the ground. I feel like I'm at Trader Sam's right now. I don't think it can go any lower than it is, so hopefully it does not. But I am kind of on the same path as Carly. We're sending our oldest daughter, Sophie, off to college, and we're leaving a week from a week from Monday. So it's coming up really, really fast, and it's very bittersweet. So I'm excited to go and kind of get out of town and have a little mini vacation, but then we're leaving her there. So it's kind of sad in that way too. But Scott and I are going to get to go a couple of dates to Disney, and probably one of those 2 days, just the two of us, because I'm assuming she's going to want to hang around school and get to know people and do fun stuff, but she says that she's going to want to come with us. So we'll see what happens. But so just that exciting time in life that's also really sad and scary. So we'll see. Check back with me next week and we'll see what, how I'm feeling then.
Just remember, she's going to have a blast.
Oh, she is. I'm not concerned about that. I know she's going to have a blast. It's, it's everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will Ratatouille previews be going on when you get there?
And ride
the rat?
Scott tried. He got on and he actually got a couple of days. It's not going to be during that time, but we thought maybe, like, now all of a sudden we have a kid going to school in Florida. All of a sudden we think that we can just go there whenever we want, which is ridiculous. Like, it's the same exact thing as it is now. But it's just not going to work time-wise, but we'll get there eventually. I think he might still have the reservations on the book though, but we'll see. Hopefully marathon weekend we will get to do that as a group together. Good transition, huh?
Right. That was really circle.
All right, Carly, do you want to tell us about our topic today?
Sure. So I know that all of you know Stacy's a big runner. I'm starting to run and do some more races. John and Neil are kind of seasoned pros at Run Disney. So we thought we would do a show about Run Disney and also just generally what got us running, because I think some people listen and they think, oh my gosh, running is not for me. Running is not my jam, which is exactly where I think a lot of us were whenever we first started out. And now here we are signed up for half marathons and dopies and all kinds of really crazy, sometimes stupid things.
All right. Why don't we go around and maybe we can go in the same order and talk about what got us started in running? What led you to this ridiculous hobby? John, why don't we start with you?
So I initially got into it about 10, 12 years ago, just with some friends doing 5Ks. A lot of my friends were real runners, right? They were doing marathons and half marathons, and I hated running. So I would sign up for a 5K here and there with them, and that was about the end of it. And then in 2017, I had a physical with my doctor, which didn't go so well. I was told, I was overweight, my blood work was no good. So I figured, what the heck, I'm going to start trying to exercise more, and started running just because it was something easy I could squeeze in between, kid activities and work and everything else. And throughout that summer, I really started to enjoy the time just away from everything. Time for me to listen to music and just chill out and just kind of gather my thoughts. So that that happened that summer. And then in September of that year, I was out one day and just felt awesome, right? I wanted to do a 10K on my own. I hit that. I kept feeling good and made it to my first 10-mile run that afternoon. And from there, it was just like I was hooked. I just couldn't stop thinking about it, doing it. And then a few months later, signed up for my first half marathon. That was the next spring. And then, just took off from there. And now it's just, it's led to meeting so many people and having so much fun. And again, still like kind of the mental break that I need every day to just get away from everything.
That's great. Isn't it funny though? Like, I'm sure that we've all kind of thought through this where we say, oh, it's such an easy sport. It's, you could just do it in our spare time. It's not, what do you need? A pair of shoes? Like it's just so easy to do. Yeah. And then you get into the sport of running and thousands of dollars later you are, it's not cheap or, it takes some time, but it's amazing. And you will see it. We just lost like 40 people right now, just by me saying that, but, you'll see it's worth it. It's totally worth it. Neil, how about you?
For me, I think my first like race was a 5K in grad school. So that would have been, I don't know, 14 or 15 years ago. And I remember getting to the end of it and thinking, well, I did that. I can cross that off the list. Never need to do that again. Let's go back another, 5 years from, 4 or 5 years from now. I started getting into running because I'm going to be honest, I was getting fat. I just was putting on too much weight. My friends gave me a lot of grief about it. And they were like, what's going on there? I travel, I'm on the road a lot for work, and it's really easy to get into a routine where you hit a drive-through or I'm sedentary a lot. I sit in my car, multiple hours a day, a lot of times. And, I decided I needed to start doing something to get myself a little healthier. I was listening to some podcasts and hearing about people doing Run Disney. And I thought, boy, that to me would be a really cool way to get to experience Disney in a way that I've never done before. Mm-hmm. And so I signed up for my first 10K, and I finished that at Star Wars race weekend. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. I can't believe I ran 6 miles. Well, I guess the next step's a half marathon. And so I signed up for a half, like within 2 weeks, you get that runner's high and you're like, I got to do another race. So I signed up for a half, for that November. And, in the meantime, I decided, you know what, maybe I'll like it. I don't know. And I signed up for 5 half marathons in a matter. And I,
before you had ran the first one?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And wow. Somebody asked me and they said, what are you doing this weekend? I said, well, I have to run 8 miles. And they go, why? And I said, well, I'm getting ready for a half marathon. They go, do you like to do that? And I said, I sure hope so. I've never run, but I have 5 on the calendar right now. And if I decide I don't like it after the first one, I'll get through those 5 and I'll call it a day. And when I hit the end of the, when I hit the finish line after that first one, I said, yeah, that was awesome. I can't wait to do more of these. And after the second one, which was 3 weeks later, I said, maybe I should do a marathon. No, that's crazy. That's twice what you just ran. Who could do that? And it has snowballed ever since. And so it's addicting. It really is. But I, like John, I love that time out there where I'm getting some peace of mind, some clarity. I think through a lot of the issues that might be at work or with family or with friends, and having that time, that me time where I know it's just me. I have a podcast playing or some music and I can just kind of think things through and get to experience the nature. It is worth every single minute that I'm out there.
Yeah. You've both said that you go out and run by yourself. Now, like John, I know your daughter runs with you occasionally, but the majority of your time is spent running by yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Carol will go out with me maybe once a week or so for 2-3 miles, and she's doing cross country. So she's starting to get into it too, but, so it's great when she comes with me, I love it, but I still also love that time alone. But yeah, when she comes with me, it's just awesome. Cause it's, daddy daughter time. And, it's just fun to hang out with her, even if we don't talk a whole lot, because I'm out of breath and she's going much slower than her normal pace to allow me to keep up with her. So yeah, it's always fun.
That's so funny because, like, Stacy and I are completely the opposite. Like, Stacy, I know you don't often go out running by yourself. You do some Peloton or treadmill by yourself, but when you go out running, you're running with Scott.
Right. Yeah. And that mostly is just because it's Chicago and we just safety wise, it's better to come to go together. But, and also because we motivate each other too. So. And you're the same with Jeff.
Yes. Right? Like, oh my gosh, yes. I can do short runs by myself, but I think getting up there for anything longer than maybe 3.5 miles, I need some distraction because otherwise it's just like, when is this over? I am bored. When is it done? Like, I've tried music, but it just, I start to listen and then I zone out and I start thinking, oh my gosh, like I've had to have ran like 8 miles by now. Oh, 2.5. Fabulous.
See, and I could definitely do the solo. I actually prefer to not have anybody talk to me or even be near me while I'm running. Like Scott does a very good job of either running ahead or behind me because I need to be in my own zone. And so I listen to audiobooks and that just totally gets me. I mean, it probably doesn't do great with pacing, but it makes it go by super fast for me. So I don't need him for distraction. It's just nice to have somebody kind of nearby that you know, you've done it together. So that's the fun part of it. But did you have anything else to say about your, oh, you didn't even go, Carly.
But that's basically my story. Oh gosh, 3 years ago, I weighed, oh my gosh, 30 some pounds more than I do currently. And I started to diet. And then Jeff saw me and he was like, oh my gosh, if you can diet and lose all that weight, so can I. So he kind of jumped on the bandwagon and he's always been a runner. He ran track, he ran cross country in high school. And so he was like, I'm going to go out and start running. And then I didn't realize I'm a super competitive person, but apparently I'm very competitive because I saw nothing. I saw Jeff running and I was like, if he can do that, I can do that. Like, he's not the only one that's special. So I went out and started running and I thought to myself, like, oh my gosh, if my high school self could look at me now, because in high school I quit volleyball because I didn't want to run the laps. At practice. So I'm out there running and Jeff was like, let's sign up for a 5K. And we convinced Riley to sign up for one just based on the name of it. It was the Flamingo 5K and it was all about costumes. And so we dressed up. I made these weird flamingo costumes. We had sticks with big flamingo heads on them that we carried through the entire race and flamingo skirts on. It was insane. Feathers everywhere. I was molting the entire time. But we got done and I was like, that was fun. And I thought, okay, I'm a 5K girl. This is what I'm going to do. And then in some weird idea, signed up for the Star Wars races. And I thought, okay, I can do all of them. We're going to do, you know, wine and dine, and then we're going to do Star Wars and we're going to do 5K, the 10K and the half. So we started training. And then everything got canceled due to COVID. So I've been running 3 years, but I have only ever raced in a half marathon, an actual race, one time. My first official half marathon was Toledo with all of you guys. And I had raced one time before that virtually, and that's how I earned my Star Wars medal. But it was really, you know, Jeff kind of doing his thing. And then I decided, nope, I'm doing it too. And so when he said he was doing Dopey in 22, I was like, you're stupid. And then I thought, oh my gosh, he's going to be down there and he's going to be running with all of my friends. And I'm going to be just sitting on the sidelines and angry. And so I also signed up. So it's just a competition who gets to spend more time with friends and who has the better time. And I usually try and beat him by at least a couple steps. So.
Yes. Yes. And Carly, we ran the Toledo half together. I ran with Carly and Jeff, and I know firsthand Carly's competitive side because we were going at a okay pace. I mean, not too fast, not too slow, just kind of at a good pace, but Carly needs to be like 20 feet ahead. So I was stressing. I'm like, Jeff, she's so, should we go catch up to her? He's like, don't do it. Cause if you catch up to her, she's just going to go 20 more feet ahead. Sure enough, I'm like going up, running. And then Carly's like taking off another 20 feet. I was like, okay, so this is how this is. I was like, learn very fast. Just go at my own pace.
Right. And it's not even a conscious thing.
No, it wasn't at all. And she never went more than like 20 feet ahead. Like she kept that pace going. So it's not like she took off and left us. But I was like, okay, yeah, Carly's competitive in that way. But it was amazing. My story is pretty much the same as everybody else's. For health reasons, I just started to look into what else I can do. I had lost a little bit of weight with the elliptical and dieting and everything. But just, again, like Neil said, with some podcasts and stuff that I heard people were doing this running thing. So tried it out for a few months. And then Scott and I decided to sign up for the Hot Chocolate 5K in Chicago, and ended up doing that. And we both were injured by the end of it. Like, my hip was so hurt. He hurt his knees. Like, we were miserable. We couldn't walk up the stairs after this 5K. And we saw people like moving the, you know, the course split to go. Some people were doing a 15K, and both of us were like, how the heck are they doing this 15K? They're doing this two more times. Two more times. Thank you. How are they doing this? But we finished it, crossed the finish line, got home. And I think we had signed up for a 5K every month for the rest of the year. Just because we forgot all about the miserable parts of it and loved the whole finishing part of it. And it was just amazing. And that's just kind of how the addiction started. And just like Neil, 5Ks led to 10Ks, which led to half marathons. And then it led to, we're only going to do one marathon. And that's going to be part of the Dopey Challenge, because we wanted to do the Dopey Challenge. And that was in 2020 that we did that. And the course was cut by just a couple of miles that year. And of course, I'm also a little bit competitive. I can't let that be my only marathon, because in my head, that's not it. We didn't do the whole distance. So now we're doing it again this coming year. But yeah, it's just, it's a lot of, it is about being with friends, like Carly was saying, and about health, like John was saying, and about just loving the adrenaline of it, like Neil was saying, all wrapped up into one. It's just amazing. And a lot of people, I'm not a typical runner, so I am not the size of a typical runner. I get a lot of people saying, you're an inspiration that you're doing all of these things. Seriously, I hate it when people say this, but if I can do this, anybody can do this. I mean, unless you are told by your doctor that you cannot run because of your knees or something like that. But really, you start somewhere. You start with one step, and then you just continue to progress as time goes on. You get a plan. You find some accountability partners and motivation, and you can do this. So I don't want anybody listening to this thinking this isn't for me. I can't. You can. And you might do it. And like Neil said, he might have hated it and that was going to be the end of it, but you never know until you try. So I always encourage everybody to at least sign up for one race. If you hate it, it's probably not going to get any better. But if you love it, it's only going to go from there. So that's my motivational talk of the day.
Stacey, I think the thing that really got me into running once I signed up for races and got me to really love it is the community that's there, because mm-hmm. I'm the same way, right? I'm not a typical runner in terms of any other parts of my life, but getting there and being at a race with all these people and then finding support communities locally and then online, especially within some of the Disney groups, that's what really keeps you going, right? Because then you meet all these friends and you start encouraging each other, and there's so much positivity that comes out of it compared to a lot of other activities that you can take up.
Yes. And I think what's funny is, Stacey, you mentioned your first marathon wasn't a real marathon, and John, you mentioned you weren't a real runner. And I think that's the community. And I think mainly the four of us are talking that community is the BOGP Lizards. We're all members of the Lizard community. And they were, just the crutch that got me through, that I thought, oh my gosh, I'm not a real runner either. Like, I'm not a runner. I'm going out and I'm running 5Ks, but I'm not setting world records and I'm not fast. And I'm not really running the whole thing because I do intervals. And it was so hard for me to say I'm a runner when I thought everybody went out and they ran that entire distance without stopping and they were super fast. And then going into the Lizards and looking at everybody who's like, oh yeah, I use Galloway or I use this and I do these intervals. And it was like, oh my gosh, but you just ran like a full marathon and your time was pretty decent. And
you finished. Yes.
Right? You're a real runner. And yes. I do intervals too. And I can finish in a time like that. Like, I guess I'm a runner. I must be a real runner. And so the community kind of like pushes you to accept the fact that it's not real running. If you're out there and you're running for whatever length of time, then you're a runner.
Absolutely. I can't tell you the number of times that I have had imposter syndrome in this sport, right? Regularly. And even some friends would say, my one buddy said, hey, you know, Neil's really, he's putting in time. He's putting in some effort. And another friend said, yeah, let's see how long it sticks. Right. Which, you know, that's not great, but it, that kind of motivated me a little bit more, but I don't know how many times I felt that way and said, I'm not a real runner because my pace is this, or because I'm doing intervals or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, a mile is a mile is a mile. And whether you finish it in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes, you still made it a mile. And, you know, for me now, I still every once in a while go, I can't believe I still do this, right? 4.5 years later, I still think, I can't believe I'm still out here putting in, you know, 20 or however many miles per week. It is very, very much, I think, a thing that most people in the community feel. And, you know, guys, it's real. You're doing it, whether you think you're not a real runner or not. You are a runner because you're putting your foot one foot after another, and you're going to cross a finish line, and that makes you a runner.
Right. I was always terrified that I would be the last one to cross the finish line. Always. I was like, oh my gosh, just don't let me be last. And then I was scrolling through some websites about running and found a book that was called Running with a Police Escort. And this woman is hilarious. She's from Cleveland, Ohio. She's written a book. She's a librarian turned runner. But she wrote a book about being the last one in a race. And she said she's running down the road and some guy looked over and said, oh my gosh, you must be somebody really important. Like there's a police car following you. And she was like, I'm not last. I'm running with a police escort. They can't shut the race until I'm done. So it all depends on me. And it was like, that was another moment of, oh my gosh, yes. Like, I don't have to worry about being last. Who cares?
I'm doing it. Exactly. Yep. No. Yeah, that's how I am too. I'm like, I'm probably never going to be first. So what does it matter where I am? You know, it's just about the experience and having fun and just being proud of what I'm doing out there. So that's, yeah. Let's go. We have some fun questions for the panel here. To talk a little bit more about the fun side of running. We know that it's hard and we know that it's time consuming and it's a sport. But let's talk about some embarrassing moments here. Does everybody have an embarrassing running moment here? I know I have one. So
should we start with you then, Stacey?
Yeah. Okay. So
I gotta get them ready.
I have two, and one of them is from when I was a child, and then one of them is as an adult, and one of them goes along with actually what Carly was just saying. And I did my first 5K when I was like 10 years old. And that's the only 5K I did until I was in my late 30s. So I was my uncle was the race director for this race in Chicago. And he got me to sign up for this race. And I was like, yeah, I can do it. I went out like a bullet from this. I mean, I was not the most in shape child and just put all of my effort, had not trained at all, didn't know I needed to train for anything like this. And probably within one block, I couldn't breathe anymore. And I was just like walking this race and I was the last person to finish the race. And of course I was 10 years old and so embarrassed, but everybody sees this 10-year-old coming through and like just so defeated, and they're all like cheering and like, yeah, you can do it, awesome, which made me of course feel way worse. I was like, this is the worst moment of my life. It was horrible. So that's number one, just like not knowing, just being a kid, everything embarrasses you to kid. But about a year and a half into running, Scott and I were doing a half marathon training distance. And I hate crossing streets outside of the lights in Chicago because it's scary. Like, you never know like a car is going to come zooming by. We run by a forest preserve. It's pretty quiet over there, but I still like to cross the light. It was just icy enough out, but you can avoid the ice patches. He starts flying across the street and I follow him because I'm like, I was just following. And I see ice at the curb and I jump over the ice to not hit the ice. And my foot hits the crack on the sidewalk and I go down. I ended up like super spraining my ankle, almost a complete tear in my ankle. But as I was laying on the ground, cars were like stopping and, "Are you okay?" And police came and stopped. But the police were actually going to something else, like a crime that had happened. And they just happened to see me laying on the ground and they were like not knowing what to do, if they should stop for me or go to the crime. So that was my other one where I was like, I was literally just laying on the sidewalk, like on the ice in Chicago in February with a completely sprained ankle. So two really glamorous moments of my life.
Oh, you poor thing.
It's okay.
I just want to go back and hug 10-year-old Stacey.
I know. I wish I could too and tell her that it really wasn't that big of a deal. Right. And people wanted to see you succeed. And I finished that race, though. That is the thing, though. I finished the race. So.
And we just said that's all that's important.
Exactly.
Boys, one of you want to go next?
I haven't had any super embarrassing moments running, but when me and my daughter were out for our turkey trot 5K this past year, so we just around the house or the neighborhood, we took off running and then we were on the sidewalks, usually running the street, right? But with her with me and everything, I didn't want to be in the street. So we're running and of course there's a family all, you know, gathering at their house. Everybody's going in saying hi to each other. And as we run by there, I stopped looking at my watch and didn't realize the uneven sidewalk and just completely bit it, like wiped out straight down. I'm like, just, you know, scraped up my elbows and everything. And, you know, all these people are just staring at me and I'm just like, we gotta go. So we just start running again and I'm limping and I'm all tore up. And of course my daughter, her first thought is like, "Oh daddy, are you okay?" And I'm like, yeah. And then she just busts out laughing. So I'm like, at least she asked if I was okay. Yeah.
Yes.
And if I would have said no, she probably still would have laughed, but it made me feel good that at least she checked on me before she just, you know, started laughing her butt off. But yeah, that's about it. I think I've had a few instances like that because I'm clumsy where I've fallen. But that was probably the most visible one because there was an entire family standing there watching.
And you are now their topic of Thanksgiving dinner for the next 20 years. Remember that time?
Yeah. That fella just wiped out in front of us.
They're probably still wondering if you broke a hip or something.
I wonder if that guy still runs.
Yeah. It must not have been that bad because we probably would have been sued. So it's fine. He must be okay. We didn't get a subpoena. It's fine.
Yep.
For me, I occasionally run with one of my best friends from college, and I don't think we were out for that long of a run, but and it's a trail that we, you know, on the rail trail here that we've run tons of times together, and I don't know if I was spacing out or what happened, but I looked up and I went, is there a house on the hillside there that I've never noticed that house before? What are you talking about? It was just trees. There was no structure there. And I just was certain. I was like, what is that? What is that? I've run on this trail like tons of times. I've never seen that house. And he's like, dude, there's absolutely no house there.
Suffering from severe dehydration?
Uh-huh. Something. Yeah, the only other thing I could think is that after his father passed, he hosted a 5K in his father's honor. And so I ran it 3 years in a row. And the first year I ran it, no problem. And the second year I had just done no running. And I walked it with his boss. And I don't know, it was without a doubt my slowest 5K time of all time. But got third in my age group. And so now I can be like, yeah, absolutely placed in my age group in a 5K. You know, it was for good cause, so it's okay.
Nice. So I've been sitting here racking my brain trying to think of one. Like, I knew the questions in advance. I don't know why I was unprepared. But I feel like none of my stories are G-rated, but I'm going to go with it anyway. So Jeff and I did a race in Cuyahoga Falls, and it's up and down hills and through like this nature area, and it's pouring down rain, but super hot outside. And so I started out the race with a sweatshirt on, and then I get so flipping hot as I run, and I hate for anything to touch me. Can't have a headband on. I want it all off. So I had on my Lizard Buff when the race started and my sweatshirt, and I was like, sweatshirt gone, running in my sports bra. This is life. And then I was like, I can't have this buff on. It's got to go. So I take the buff and I don't want to throw it to the curb because, oh my gosh, that's my lizard gear. No one can take that. So I decide I'm going to wear it like they do on Survivor. And so I like shimmy into this buff and wear it like a tube top. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so restricting. I'm not sure that I'm able to actually breathe properly. So I'm running with this stupid buff on and it's cutting in, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. I can't just like, I'll take it and put it in my pocket. Just take it off. So here I am like still trying to run because it's a run interval, and I'm like, I'm not stopping. I got this. And I'm taking it off and wardrobe malfunction like crazy. This car goes by at the same time, and I'm like stuck in this buff, like inappropriateness all over the place. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So the car passes. I'm like, oh, I hope they didn't see me at all.
They saw.
I'm sure they did. I was expecting horns to honk and weirdness to be said, but luckily there were no runners near us. We were like so far behind, but I finally did get the buff off, and I realized these buffs are not like the stretchy, stretchy buffs that you see on Survivor. They cannot be worn as shirts. Don't try it. Take it from me.
I'm really impressed that you got that on, though. Like, I can barely get that over my head. So
it was really impressive. It was less impressive watching me take it off like I'd been caught in a straitjacket.
I think you win, Carly.
Oh, but I don't have any bruised hips. So
that is good. This is very good.
Oh, so what races are you guys signed up for coming up?
So right now I have a 10 miler in Flint, Michigan coming up in about 2 weeks. So we're doing that, and apparently it's all hills. So that's going to be great. And then right now I'm signed up for the Detroit half marathon in October, but it is the same weekend that our baby is due to be born. So Katie has strongly suggested that I defer that one to next year. So after that, Wine and Dine virtual half, and then hopefully my first full marathon at Disney with all of you fine people.
Which is kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Woo, woo. Neil, very you've got some fun Disney coming up too,
Like I said, I like to load my calendar up with races. And so, if a race just happens to so work out and I have a long training run, then I do those as well sometimes. And so my next official race is the Chicago Marathon in October. Yay. And that will be marathon number 2, my first official one outside of Disney. And then the next race on the calendar after that is Rock and Roll San Antonio for the half marathon in December. After that, I'll be doing the Dopey Challenge at Disney in January. And after Dopey, I have Rock and Roll New Orleans for the half marathon in February.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. I made a call a long time ago that in an effort to continue to run and run races, and also running has become an excuse for travel for me now. And so I'm slowly working my way to a half in every state or a farther distance in every state. And so I'll get a few more done by February. So that'll be good.
Nice.
So go ahead, Stacey.
Mine is, so my next one is Chicago Half Marathon in September. Actually, yeah, that's the next one. And then Hot Chocolate 15K in November. And then we have Schaumburg Half Marathon Turkey Trot. And that's actually the one that we won. The Lizards had a name, or we did a name contest through a bunch of lizards who were running this race, and our team, the Leapin' Lizards, won the name contest. So we all got a free half marathon in November for the Turkey Trot. And then after that, it's Dopey. So, and I don't know if we have anything beyond Dopey at this point, but yeah, so we had, just like Neil said, we kind of worked in a bunch of long runs as those to prepare for the big one, which is Dopey. So how about you, Carly?
The only thing official that I have coming up is Dopey. I feel like for me, that is enough. I know I've talked about it on the show before. I have some trouble with my knee right now, so I'm doing PT and trying to get that under control and hoping that I will be good enough to run Dopey when it comes around. But I feel like our show would be crazy if we didn't talk Run Disney. And that's why I asked what races you guys have coming up, because what is it that draws you guys to Run Disney? Like, I've never been able to run any Run Disney races. I've signed up for lots of them, and because of COVID, they were all canceled. But you guys have all done them. And is it a fun factor? Is it hanging out with friends? Is it, what is it about Run Disney that makes it what you keep coming back to?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, for me, we never thought we'd actually even get to Run Disney just because of the size of a family we have, and Scott doesn't like to fly. So just getting away for a weekend isn't really possible. But once we got started with running and being part of the Disney community, it was just a natural progression. So our first Run Disney race was during marathon weekend, and it was the half marathon. And that was 2019, and we didn't know really anybody. Like, we were on the Lizards, and we knew there were meetups and things, but we went in not knowing, we knew very, very few people, and then left that weekend as it being one of the best weekends of our entire life. So that got us hooked to the point where we probably will be doing marathon weekend most years, whether we're running or not, just getting down there just to be part of the community with everybody. And then we did Dopey in 2020, and we'll be doing Dopey again in 2022. So, but yes, it definitely started off with, we need to do a Run Disney race because we heard how fun they are, to who cares about the race? I want to see all the people that I love. So total community aspect for us.
And that's similar to me too. I mean, really my love of running and Disney kind of started taking off around the same time. And I think they kind of reinforced each other once you get in that Run Disney community, right? So I did the Princess 5K in 2018 with my kids and absolutely loved it. It was so fun, the music before it and everything. And we went around Epcot, but you didn't go through the castle and that type of thing. So the next year I did the Princess Half, and just running up Main Street and through the castle. And it was just so awesome, right? And then from that point, started getting more involved with the Lizards online, and, you know, meeting all of you guys, and just everybody in that group is so awesome and supportive. And now it's almost as much about the social side of it and going to those events and meeting everyone and having fun as it is about, you know, being in my favorite place and being able to do that with my kids as they get older as well. You know, for marathon weekend, they're not coming with me because it just doesn't make sense. But when we're scheduling most of our trips, we try to plan them around Princess weekend, or in the past we were going to do Star Wars weekend, those type of things, so that, you know, we can do one of the races while we're there together as a family, get that fun time in, and just, you know, do something different than just going to the parks. You know, you get the expo, you get all those cool other side events, and now meeting up with the Lizards and stuff is really what's, I guess, reinforcing all of that, the training and the fun times and everything. You get to do that with someone and with a group of people that really means something to you.
Yeah,
so people for you too.
Yeah, I mean, it's all of those things for me as well. My first Run Disney race was Star Wars in 2018. I ran the 10K, and I had joined the Lizards the year before. I think I did the virtual 5K series on my own, and I thought, well, this is my first time. I'm so excited to get to experience this, and, you know, with for me, it feels like just with everything else, Disney does everything right. Right? I mean, there are obviously some things that I don't like that they do, but in terms of when they put an event on, they do it right. And, you know, it is there's so much to every weekend at Disney and at Run Disney events. And then so that weekend, I didn't know any of the lizards. I knew no one. And I showed up to the meetup and got into the corral and was like, hey, can I run with you guys? And Phil Scheingold, who is just one of the nicest people I know, was like, oh, obviously, of course. So here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do a run, walk, run. And if you need to take a break, you tell me. And we'll end, you know, at one point I needed to take a walk break. And he dropped back. And, you know, there was no question about whether or not I fit in the community or, you know, we weren't going to, no lizard left behind. I mean, we were going to finish the line. Now, I do have to say, at one point when we got into Hollywood Studios, they were like, the balloon ladies are coming up. And I freaked out. And I was like, I got to go. I have to. And I sprinted the last 2 miles of it because I didn't want to get a DNF on my first run Disney race. But ever since then, I have come back for, I've gone to marathon weekend twice now. And I did Star Wars weekend in between. And I was supposed to do Wine and Dine last year. Obviously, that didn't happen. But getting to meet everyone and the friendships that have been made. And it's like a family reunion for me at every Run Disney race, and getting to see, you know, everybody's constantly building each other up and saying, great job, look at you, great, you know, great work. And you get to meet people in person. It's like, oh, I know you from all your posts. I know you from this. I know, you know, and you really do. You build a fantastic community and have that opportunity to continue to grow not only the Run Disney community, but also just the friendship that you get from it.
Yeah. For anybody who's listening, I feel like we've got lots of people out here who aren't runners and who aren't Run Disney runners, and they heard you say balloon ladies and you freaked out. Like, I know most people go to Disney and see ladies with balloons and they're like, yay. So can you explain what the balloon ladies are?
Yeah. So the balloon ladies are the official timekeepers essentially on the course. You have to keep, you're supposed to keep a 16-minute pace per mile. The balloon ladies start last and they keep it. They are right there on 16 minutes. And there are sections of the course where if you are behind the balloon ladies, you technically can get swept and you would get a DNF, did not finish for the race. So they're kind of the official, I guess, timekeepers, if you will, but we all find out who they are. We follow them. We track them on our phones during races. So we know where they are and how much farther, like how far ahead you are or how much extra time you might have. Spoiler alert, even if you do get swept, you still get your medal.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you still get your medal. If you're in a challenge series, though, you don't get the challenge medals.
Oh, gotcha.
But the balloon ladies are hilarious, though, because, I mean, it's not hilarious. It's actually terrifying. But when you we caught a glimpse of them during the half marathon, but they weren't behind us. We were on an overpass and they were coming. They were far behind, but we could see them because of just where we were. And just the fear in my heart when I saw those balloons was just, it was terrifying. And then Scott last for the dopey, when he was running the marathon, he had pneumonia running this marathon. And so he had stories about, like, every time he passed other lizards who were on the sidelines, they were like, the balloon ladies, they're 7 minutes behind you. You have to go. They're 7 minutes behind. So it's very much like a fear of, like, it, like the clown, you know, like you just don't want to see them because you know that this is like this, it's just like this horrifying thought, but like they're just these happy, sweet people with these colorful balloons, like being so sweet and friendly, but they're like, they're the scariest people on earth when you're running a Run Disney race.
These poor people. They probably have like hate mail. I guess I have one more question, Stacey, if that's all right for everybody.
Uh-huh.
Favorite Run Disney moment? Any of the races that you've ran, what is your moment that you're like, this is it? This was beautiful, or this was hilarious, or whatever it was.
Can I cheat and give two?
Sure.
Absolutely. That's what we do.
You're going to go first, then?
Yeah. So The first one is running on marathon weekend during the half and the full, and coming into the Magic Kingdom and going up Main Street. It never gets old. And you've just spent multiple miles on the roads. You come up through the gates and you come right up Main Street, and there's all these people standing there with signs and the cowbells and getting to see the castle. Cause they've always had it with the icicle lights at least the last few years. I don't know what they'll do going forward, but getting to see that castle lit up like that, it's still dark and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. The second one, was finishing the marathon last year. I never would have guessed that I would have done something like that. I was that guy that was like, look at that for me. It's like 80 degrees and they're outside. Like, what are they doing? Just get in a car. And now I'm like, I got to get these miles in, cause I want to finish my race. But my dad and mom called me. We were at mile 21. We were in just outside of Blizzard Beach. And dad said, are you done? And I said, am I done? No, I'm not done. What do you mean? And he goes, you're dawdling. You're dawdling. You're taking your time. Why aren't you done yet? And I said, it's hotter. It is so hot out right now, Dad. I don't even know what to tell you. And he's like, well, how much farther do you have to go? And I said, 5 miles, you know? I said, I sent you the tracking. Did you not, are you not tracking where I am? Oh, we have no idea how to use that. And so, they were not tracking me. They had no idea. My dad was sick for years and, just thinking what he went through, what I had to go through to finish that race was nothing in comparison to what he went through in all those years of being sick. And for me, you know, getting to show him I could do that was huge.
I love that memory that, you know, it's not dad like, oh, bud, you've only got 5 miles to go. Keep it up. He's like, you're being slow. Get your butt moving, man.
That's one of my favorite stories. I love it.
What the hell's your problem? Finish up.
That's so great. I thought you were going to make me cry there for a bit. I was getting goosebumps just you talking about the castle, and then you went into like really great memories, and I started getting all teary.
Yeah, so. Me too.
John, are you going to be teary too?
No. So you stole my first one, which was going to be running up Main Street and seeing the castle for the first time during the Princess Half, and it was just amazing. So I'll say something different now and still do two more. So I'll really cheat here. But during that same half marathon, my Princess Half, my wife and kids, we were staying at the Polynesian, and there was no way Katie was going to really come out to the course with, you know, four kids or three kids, I guess, at the time. Right. And it just wasn't going to happen. So she told me to call her when I was like leaving the Magic Kingdom, and she would get the kids and they'd come out. So I was on the phone with them, and I'm looking for them, and they're out in the Poly parking lot. All of a sudden I see all these humans crawl out from behind these bushes. And it was like Katie and the kids all kind of trying to make their way through the bush. And then they get out and I'm like, oh, hey guys. And then it was gone. Right. Cause I ran by, but it was just so awesome that like couple of seconds to get to see them while I'm running, you know, in our favorite place, and you know, my favorite people coming out to say hi and that type of thing. So that was pretty awesome. And then the second one is more of kind of, I guess, a funnier story, but my son and daughter ran the Princess 5K with me the year before. And during the race, my son just, he wasn't feeling good. Right. But my daughter is very competitive. So she was, even at like 6 or 7 years old, which she was, whatever, she's yelling at my son, like, come on, Caleb, you gotta get going. Let's move. So eventually he's finally like, I just can't do it. And so I had to put him on my back and carry him, like with him just hanging on my neck and trying to run in like 80 degree humidity. And just, there was a picture of me. I'll have to find it, but I'm just completely covered in sweat. And he's just hanging out like, you know, right, like he's riding a horse. And then we get home and we find out he actually had pneumonia, so he physically could not run You know, so it was just, but it was funny. You look at the pictures and he's just kind of hanging out and having a good old time riding on me. Like, you know, like he's John Wayne riding a horse or something. So yeah, so I think those are, those are my best memories from Run Disney.
All right. So mine are very similar, actually, is just crowd support in during Run Disney races. Like the crowd support is amazing. There's people just everywhere. And I mean, there's signs, there's costumes, there's just so much. And there and all of your like friends are just kind of sprinkled throughout this race. And it's just amazing. But my favoritest memory is goes along with what I said before with the Balloon Ladies and Scott running with when he had pneumonia, which is weird that John's son also had pneumonia during a race. But we didn't know that Scott was going to even be running this race because when I had left the morning of the marathon, he was still in bed. He was not going to come. When I got there, I was in the corral. He told me that he was at he was there and he was going to walk as far as he could. And then he was going to just get on the bus and be done. But running that marathon and having the crowd support as we ran along, seeing people that were our friends on the sideline who were tracking both Scott and I, telling us where he is on the course and he's going to make it, he's going to make it. And just like when we got to, I can't remember where we got to, but somebody said he is past, I think it was he's at the boardwalk, he's going to make it. And it was just the most like emotional moment knowing that he had finished or he was going to finish. And then I was just standing and talking to somebody after we had finished the race and he comes up behind me and I see that he has all the medals and he completed the challenge and oh my gosh, just the tears that were, I think we were both crying at that point that that accomplishment had been made. And it was just, that memory can never be topped. It was just so special that worked out. So he was super stupid for doing it, like so dumb, but it's great that it worked out the way that it did. So.
I am so excited. You guys are making me so excited. And at first it was like, oh, it's Disney and we're going to see characters and I'm going to get medals and it's fun because I always run for the bling. But now I'm like, oh, maybe I don't care about the characters. Maybe yeah. I care more about, you know, just seeing all the people. And so it'll be fun.
Exciting. Really exciting. All right. Well, I think that's probably going to wrap up our time. I could talk for another 3 hours, but I doubt that very many people want that to happen. So, but it was just really nice getting together and talking a little bit about running and why we do these stupid things that we do and why we love it so much. And I think we've all come to the conclusion that most of it is just because we love each other and we get to see people that we genuinely enjoy spending time with. And the running comes second to all this. We train all year for these moments. So we thank you so much for listening. And thanks to Carly and John and Neil for joining us tonight. And please come and check us out on our Facebook group, EDCOT, E-D-C-O-T. We are the best group on the Facebooks. And we're so family oriented. We love each other, just like this group here. And also, please like us on the WW Review on Facebook and leave us a review on iTunes. That just really helps us to get a little bit more visibility. So if you've already left a review, give us a revised review. It can only kind of boost us a little bit there. Carly, do you have anything else to add there?
Yes, we are also on the Instagrams, just like the Facebooks. We are at the WW Review Podcast, and review is R-E-V-U-E, because I feel like some people don't get that. So WW Review Podcast on Instagram. Follow us there. We've been posting lots of stories and lots of themed weekly stuff. And also,
Carly has been doing a lot of really amazing stuff on Instagram. I have to give her props. Like, those posts are beautiful that you've been doing. So keep those up.
Thanks. And we also would love for you, if you haven't checked out Patreon and you are interested in supporting the show, there are donations from $2 all the way up to whatever you want to give if you want to be absolutely crazy. But any little bit helps keep the show going and make sure that we can keep this going and make it the best for you guys. John and Neil, if people have questions for you about your races or any running ideas, where can we find you gentlemen?
Well, I'm also in the EDCOT Facebook group, so you can find me there. Try to be active there because, again, with the people and just really enjoying this group so much. So if anybody wants to find me, that's probably the easiest way to reach out is find me in that group, and then feel free to message me if you have any questions.
Yeah, I'm on EDCOT. I'm not super active on EDCOT. If you do want to, I'm on all of the, pretty much all of the social medias as at herd is the word 24. And that's D-A. Yeah. H-E-A-R-D is D-A word 24. That's where you can find me on all of those things. Because, you know, 90s throwback, baby.
Word. Also, if you want either of those guys, you can tag them on our EDCOT group and they will see your tag and respond. So anything else for the good of the order?
No, thank you for joining us.
Well, yeah, thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Have a good night.
Bye, everybody.
You didn't give us the Chris Malik impersonation.
Oh, I'm hello. Oh, I'm Neil Hurd. Hello.
Are you going to call John the big guy?
John? Big guy? What are you? Any fun stories you'd like to tell us today?
You know you've made it when you have impersonators. That's all I have to say.
Right? I mean, Chris is going to be so excited.
I do it because I love. I mean, that's how I, you know, that's how I share my love by, you know, finding great ways to impersonate people.
That's the way to go.